Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Tea Talk Time. This is Stacy and my lovely co-host Dee. And today is April the 16th. Yeah, so I keep forgetting what date it is because the time is moving so quickly. And I can't believe we're already in April. And, you know, we're this far in the year. Anyways, it's 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, or maybe about a minute after 9 now, our time. It's a different time from our regular scheduled show. However, we both have an engagement that we have to do today, so we had to move the time up from what we usually are on air. So I know it's a change for our audience, but nonetheless, it's a seems like it's going to turn out to be a beautiful day in Dallas DFW, and we are excited about this morning's show. Last week, we talked about bringing something to the table, and that had to do with from the relationship standpoint, and it was a great show. We had a lot of feedback, and I missed you so ever much, Dee, but the show had to go on. She was busy that weekend with prior engagement and stuff like that, but it was a really great conversation that
and
we
I
had.
Must If I can interject, I must say, Stacy, you did a great job holding down the fort like you always do.
Thank you, love.
Great topic. And just like with any show, we prep, we prepare so that we have a pretty good format that's easy to follow. We definitely encourage and appreciate the feedback from all our shows, the shows you like, the shows you didn't like. And we are always open to just an open, positive dialogue with transparency. But, yeah, last week's show was not able to be a part of, but Stacy did a banner job, an awesome job. So definitely appreciate my co-host for jumping in and taking the lead like she always does. This week we have two very special guests. On our show, and as always, our most popular topics are the ones that we get the most interaction and feedback deals in the realms of relationships, married or not, and we go from, when I say married or not, either you're in a married relationship, you're in a committed relationship, or just broke up, or you wanted some insight, we definitely try to cover all gamuts. As it relates to a relationship. But today's show is entitled, and Stacy, if you can help me, Stacy's good with coming up with the titles. I can at least say that. I got to give you your credit, your props for coming up with catchy phrases and titles that captivates our audience, that keeps our listeners intrigued. I know one week we had, or a couple weeks ago, we had a topic and people were like, well, had their own interpretation of what we were actually discussing. And to most surprise, it was completely polar opposite of what they thought. But I can blab on for days and days and hours at a time. So I'm going to let Stacy go ahead and do the lead in into today's topic.
Thank you, Dee, and I appreciate your kind words. But it's a team effort. We think alike, so we do this together. This week's topic, I can't take credit for this. I use exactly what the title of our guests, our two special guests, which is Candace and Ramon Tuck, that we have this morning. This is the title of their book, and it's really, I thought they came up with a great title, and it's a way to get people thinking. It certainly would be a book I would pick up off a shelf just by the name alone. It's called Somebody Should Have Told Me, and it has to do with marriage, and breaking down what marriage is and what you did not know and what you thought you knew and what you thought you heard or what, you know, other people told you. But when you get into marriage and the dynamics of marriage and what marriage really entails and the sacrifice and the work that goes into marriage is something entirely different. and they wrote a book about the about marriage. Again, titled "Somebody Should Have Told Me." And Ramon and Candace Tuck has been married for 13 years. And anybody to me that has been married for over 7 years are people that I want to talk to. Those are the people that I want to hear from. Because I think they have actually experienced something. They have actually gone through, you know, at least the ups and downs of marriage, you know, and probably have experienced every little nugget, or not every little thing, but the most difficult part about marriage, which is, I think, is the making the sacrifice and you being unselfish, forgetting about yourself, because I think it's a very self-serving thing when you get into marriage, because it's no longer about you, your little world, and your little circle. So I am eager to hear from the couple. They dated several years prior to marriage as well. They're both educators, and they have three beautiful children together. So I'm going to go ahead and let them have the floor right now. So, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce Mr. and Mrs. Tuck. Are you guys here with us this morning?
Yes, ma'am. How
yes,
you doing?
Yes, we are.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
We're well, thank you. And Ms. Tuck, I was just telling you earlier, just a side note, that I met you prior to this, and I was just telling her it's such a small world. If I hadn't looked at the book cover and I was like, I know this lady, I would not have realized that this is the Mrs. Tuck that I've dealt with on three occasions doing career day in the school when I used to work with the mentoring group.
Yes, it is.
So it was like, this is
my
world. However, I'm excited to get into the book. And I know you guys convey a little bit about, in the book, about the reason why you wrote the book, having to do with you would like for people not to make the same mistakes that you guys made, you know, in the first leg of your marriage, or you like to share the lessons that you learned, so that way it's like a blueprint or a guide to help other couples that are thinking about getting married. And I always commend people who want to share their knowledge or share any information or what they know when it comes to anything in life, whether it's career, relationships, or whatever it is, because I don't believe we're here just to be here for ourselves. So I first commend you guys for even wanting to take the time to tell your story and to lay out a foundation and a blueprint for others who are thinking about going down this journey. So if you guys could just touch on what inspired you to want to make, to write this book and to be as transparent as you guys were in the book.
Pretty much the reason you just said, just wanting to not let our journey be in vain, our trials and our tribulations. It's like you said, we're not here just for us. You know, God, you go through things to be a blessing to somebody else. At least that's our perspective on things. And, you know, I had a friend that she was going through something many years ago, and, you know, I was just trying to encourage her, and she was just like, you need to write a book. And, you know, that was my first time ever hearing that, and I'm like, what? You know, so I kind of just put it in the back of my head and never followed through on it. And then about 3 years later, somebody totally different that, you know, we're not even in the same circle mentioned the same thing, and I don't believe in coincidences. So I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
God, I'm listening now. So that kind of is what inspired a book, and I tried to do it with my husband at first, and he wasn't really with the whole, you know, let's put our stuff out. And then just last summer, he was just like, come on, I'm ready, let's write the book. So I was like, oh, you know, I jumped on it immediately. So again, it was just a means of us being open and not allowing our journey being in vain. So just being willing to open up to try to bless and help another marriage, if possible.
And you know, Ms. Tucker, you said that there is a young lady, because I usually create an event on social media just so that, you know, as part of promotional, so we could let everyone know what the topic we're discussing and stuff like that. And this particular young lady, she said today actually marks the fourth year anniversary of her divorce. And, yeah, she wished that somebody would have told her going into marriage how hard it was going to be, you know, because mm-hmm. what she went into with thinking it was going to be, it is the complete opposite of what she thought. She said, but I didn't realize there was going to be so much compromise on both ends and that I would have to pick my battles. You know,
right.
So this is a young lady, and I know you touch on that topic as well in the book when you discuss the whole compromise, and that was something that you had to learn in the, I think you guys got married when you were 25. And you touched on compromise was on chapter 6, you know, even though the first issue you dealt with was trust in chapter 1, but so much I find that just listening to, you know, friends of mine that have been married, because I've never been married, and, you know, so the ones that are divorced, I realize that it's seen even more than the trust, that the compromising is the first thing they struggle with, because, again, as I said, it's such a sacrificial, marriage is such a sacrificial thing. It's not about mm-hmm. you anymore. It's not about your needs and your wants. It's about both individual. It's about, you know, what is beneficial for both party. I don't know if you and Mr. Tuck can shed any light on what she was saying, that she didn't realize so much. She had to learn to pick and choose her battle, and so much compromise was needed. And, you know, her marriage obviously didn't survive because they didn't have the support or the help that they needed to help them figure it out, too.
Correct. When you get married, you change I for us or we. You have to completely switch your mindset into that mode. It's us now. It's us, it's we. And it's kind of difficult to do at first because your entire life has been about you. The decisions you made best for you. It wasn't a us. So you mm-hmm. have to completely switch your mindset, and if you're not careful, it can be a difficult transition. At first, it's easy. When you first get married, that honeymoon phase, it's easy to do. But as the honeymoon phase kind of fades out a little bit and you've been in there for a while, if you're not careful, your friends that you hang around with can help play a part in that. If you hang around single friends and they have that mindset, or a couple that's married with that mindset, you'll find yourself thinking and acting the same way. So you have to completely switch your mindset, and hopefully you have someone around you that's giving you good information, or, you know, and telling you, no, you can't do that, or you shouldn't think that way, or you shouldn't do that. And we've been blessed that we have parents. Her parents have been married over 35 plus years, almost 40 years. My parents have been married 30 plus years. So they have the right mindset and the right stability to give us good advice, to let us know when mm-hmm. we're wrong, and, you know, and to look, it's not about you, as you say. It's about her. It's about you two together. So if you're not careful, that not willing to compromise, having that me mindset will completely destroy your marriage.
Oh, that's well said. Dee was married before. Dee, how was it for you in the first few years of your marriage? Was compromising, letting go that it was no longer Dee's world but our world, was that an issue for you as well, getting over that first, that phase of it's no longer about Dee?
No, because I feel like with my marriage, I was married for 8 years, so I was slightly over that 7-year cutoff stage that you were talking about, mm-hmm. but I knew my ex-husband through college, so we knew each other for probably about 2 years, and then started dating 2 years and then got married. So I think the most important thing is the best foundation to start off with is as friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That obviously does not guarantee a forever type of marriage or a marriage that does not end in divorce. But I feel that had we not started out as friends, we would not, because we do have a child together, we would not be able to have the type of interaction and the exchange that we do have, because we do co-parent and we do that perfectly. Mm-hmm. So I think the foundation has to start with friendship first. Secondly, being able to communicate, know how to communicate, because I have friends that I can only tolerate them for a short period of time, and then we need some space. So friendships, and then being able to communicate. And then what was the most challenging, which I believe, well, I know you guys picked up, touched on in the book, was being able to communicate and being able to accept that other person. A lot of things that was hard for me was I saw things one completely way, and it wasn't no gray. It was either black or white, and if it's not my way, it wasn't the way I saw it, then you're completely wrong. And it was no need for discussion because I'm right. So it wasn't more that, it was more that it's either the way I see it, there's no other way. So I think in time as an adult, we do grow, but you don't know those things until
right.
you actually get into a marriage and you're like, okay,
right.
well, maybe I
right.
need to open up my eyes and see things their way.
Right.
And
but,
I'm glad you touched on that, as you said, because Miss Tuck, Candace, she made a powerful statement to me in the book in Chapter 2 regarding communication. She says you cannot expect your spouse to know what you haven't told them. And,
right.
and I was like, wow, because it's like, how is it, we're not mind readers. You know, God didn't create us with this power. You know, he's infinite. We're not to know what is happening. So that communication is so important, because if you don't tell him what it is that you need, and what you want, and, you know, what you're desiring at this moment, or what you're disappointed in, or something like that. There's no way he or she is going to know unless you communicate. So when you made that statement, you know, I highlighted that so quickly, because I was like, you know, that's really powerful. You cannot expect your spouse to know what you have not told them, or what you haven't said.
Right. That's true. And excuse me, as Denise said a while ago, you do see things totally different in certain situations, and certain things totally different. You may have totally different upbringings, and it's challenged at times to where I'm looking at things, this is how it should be done. This is the way I saw my parents do it. This is how it should be done. And she's thinking the same way, but something totally opposite. And you have to come to a middle ground and realize, okay, she may not think or he may not think exactly as I think in every situation, but it's okay. I can't completely lose it or completely think she's wrong because she or he doesn't think the way I do. And that can be a challenge for some couples. You just have to realize sometimes we have to agree to disagree and come to a middle ground.
And I think what couples should try to keep in the forefront is that it's like Renan said, you have two people coming together trying to mesh and make coming together as one and make one life together, and that's kind of hard when you are coming from two different upbringings. But you have to remember, okay, now we're trying to build our foundation and make us one for our family and put in some standards and morals and ethics and values for our family. So it's going to take a little bit from his upbringing and a little bit from my upbringing to do this. And we got to figure out what works for us, because, you know, what our parents did may not work. And we kind of discussed that part in the finance part of the book where mm-hmm. his parents yes. did one thing and my parents did another thing. And you really have to communicate a lot in marriage. And if you're not doing that, then you all cannot be on the same page. So, and like Dee said, Dee, I think most women, we all think we are right in most situations, and that's like a running joke around our house. He's like, you always right. think you're right because women, we really are.
Oh,
and we just kind of mess with each other. It's just like, God gave y'all up for a reason. Just listen to us.
As you said that, my aunt told me once, she said, baby, let me give you a key point. Just let him think he's right and he won this argument. And just do what you need to do, love. But, you know, just for the ego's
right.
sake and to save face, just let him think he won the argument. He's right. You know, she said, just tell him, go on, baby. That's my man. You lost. You know?
Right.
Oh, my God. But she said she had to learn that. You know, it's over 47 years of marriage, and she said she had to learn that. There's sometimes she just had to make him think that he was really in control, and he was right, you know, and he walk up thinking that he really was the man, and then later on, you figure out, wait a minute, we did it how you wanted to do it, and she's like, yep.
Wise lady, so, wise
you know,
lady.
But, I mean, as I said, when I read the book in probably a day and a half because I couldn't put it down, you know, for me and when Mindy was going over the book, because it's all the stuff that you talk about are fundamental things right now that is happening in relationship and things that people don't know. And it was so straight to the point, you know, and easy to read and easy to understand. It wasn't full of these a lot of philosophical things and words that you have to go grab the dictionary and look up. You made it, you brought it down to everyday regular living standpoint where everybody can understand it. And, you know, one of the other issues that I wanted to ask you guys about from the book where you discuss in chapter one, because this is such a thing in a lot of relationships and such a big concern for people, is the trust. And Candace, right. you said you dealt with trust with your husband, Ramon, in the fact that he lied to you about little things, and you learning
right.
to forgive. How hard was that for you guys to you know, deal with the forgiveness part? And I guess for Ramon, I know you said you lied to her because you felt like telling her the truth, she wouldn't understand where you were coming from. So
right.
your best, and I hear a lot of men say that. They lie to us to protect
right.
us. And I don't
right.
get that, because I'm like, in my mind or the way my mind's set up, I'm like, I don't want you to decide when you want to protect me, you know.
Right.
Just give it to me plain and straight, and then let me decide
right.
that
right.
how I'm going to handle this or that. But how was that deal for you guys? I mean, the forgiveness and learning to deal with that whole aspect of the trust issue and the lying and stuff like that.
It was extremely difficult. The lie, my lying over little stuff could have easily ruined our marriage. And it almost did in certain aspects, because I lied to my wife over little stuff. It made her difficult. It made it very difficult for her to believe me. Almost anything I say, especially if something major come up, it put a doubt in her mind because she trusts me. You have to completely change your mindset about everything when you get married. Because when, you know, when you're dating or you're single, like I said in the book, I might not want her to tell her this because I didn't want to hurt her, or I was trying to protect her, but you have to completely get that out your head. I saw somebody say on Facebook once, if you call yourself a real person, but you're lying, it doesn't add up, you know. And I had to learn the hard way to just go ahead and bite the bullet. Yes, she's going to be mad. She's not going to like that you did this or you said this, but tell her anyway, because it made the situation completely worse by lying to her, and especially over little bitty stuff. Oh, my goodness, it made the situation. Because the lying aspect is a pet peeve of my wife that she just, oh, my goodness, Lulu, if my kids lie to my wife today, they already know they're going to get their head knocked off. And the forgiveness, and the forgiveness aspect was, it was something we struggled with. It was. My wife struggled with forgiving me over, again, something that could be so minor and petty. It's like, why would you lie to me over this? And I had to just realize, man, what are you doing, Ramon? Why did you lie to her? And when it came to forgiveness on my end, when it came to her, it was difficult. Forgiveness was something, man, how do I say it? It was extremely difficult, because in every marriage, you're going to have to forgive your spouse over something, whether it's something small or something major. You're going to have to forgive your spouse, and you're going to have to forgive yourself and not constantly beat yourself up with. So the forgiveness aspect was something, yes, we did struggle with.
And I think when it comes to forgiveness, it's like when you don't forgive, you kind of carrying that with you, like, all the time, every day. You more than likely, you can't stop thinking about the situation because you truly haven't forgiven. And it's some almost, you have to make a conscious effort, and it takes a lot of prayer to get to the point where you have to say, you got to stop thinking about the pain, because that's what I can say for myself. I'm thinking, like, you know that hurts me. How can you hurt me like that? And that's what I'm saying. I'm not even really thinking about the act anymore. I'm thinking about the emotional side of it and how it affected me and hurt me, and how could my husband, somebody I love, you know, do this to me? So I think you have to get to the point to say, okay, let's let go of that pain. Let's let go of that hurt and try to just say, okay, it was an incident. It happened. You know, maybe mm-hmm. he didn't mean to hurt me. And, you know, not overthink the situation and just, you know, pray about it and move on. I think what we have to realize when it comes to forgiveness, like he said, you're going to want somebody. You're not perfect, so you're going to want that forgiveness for yourself at some point. So we mm-hmm. have to be able to forgive, you know, the other person. Like in the Bible said, God, if you can't forgive somebody, how do we expect God to forgive us for all the things that we do? And it doesn't mean, depending on how big the situation is, that doesn't mean you have to stay with that person. Because, you know, if it's abuse or something, but you do have to be willing to forgive them in order to move on, so that your everyday life isn't, you know, you're not suffocated with that every day of your life, and that person has moved on. So forgiveness, it takes a lot, but you have to be willing to.
Right. Yeah, and to piggyback off of that, it is twofold. You have to grant that forgiveness. You mm-hmm. also, like you said, you guys both pointed on, you have to forgive yourself. And replaying it is torture for yourself.
Yes,
because
sure.
It continues to, you know, you give your wife, your husband, whoever, forgiveness. They're moving on, thinking that you're progressing, and you're still replaying the hurt, be it the
right.
action or be it the betrayal. And then you're sitting at dinner, and they're thinking everything's okay. And
right.
something triggers in your mind that reminds you of that situation that may have happened 3 years ago, 2 months ago,
oh.
2 weeks ago, because you
Man.
Are still reeling in that pain.
Right.
And it's very important to, because a lot of people say, yeah, I can forgive you, but I'm not going to forget.
Right.
That's not forgiveness. Yes,
right.
you can forgive,
Absolutely.
And yeah, it'll still be a part of your history. But when you make that statement, that means I'm going to still pull this card out whenever it's convenient for me or whenever I'm feeling weak. I'm going to pull this card out to say, look, I was victimized by you. and that becomes unfair to both parties. I know with my marriage, I had a situation where my husband at the time felt like he could not tell me that he gave a family member some money. And I'm like, that's something little.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like we were, I can't remember the actual scenario, but it just came up. Hey, man, I'm going to pay you. Pay you what money? What are you talking about? You know, that I was like, what? You know, I wouldn't have had a problem, but he felt that he could not, well, for one, he didn't want to tell me his relative's business. Well, whatever's going on that's affecting our pocketbook is my business. So that was the conversation. But he felt that he couldn't tell me why he
right.
owned it, but he came back out. And I wasn't hurt about the action. I felt kind of like how you just stated, Ms. Tuck. I felt like the act, like the fact that you did this behind my back, well, what else is there? So we have to forgive. We have to not continue to bring it up. Because trust and believe me, I mean, that was a while ago, but I know I pulled that card a couple of times when he was like, you want to spend money on that? Well, we gave your cousin some money, you know. So I think that is very, very good that you guys do touch on that point that, you know, when trust is broken, regardless of what it is, a lot of times men and women, we do the same thing. I can't ever say I've been 100% honest in the beginning of a relationship, like Mr. Tuck stated. In a marriage, you know, no one's 100% honest. Let's just put that out there. Sometimes
right.
we have, at one point, even though maybe from this point on we're being completely honest, we may have told a little, as they say, white lie about something.
Right.
But don't tell daddy that, you know, I got in trouble at school. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Lie is
right,
more
right.
than, it's just deception. It's more than not being, or telling a lie. It's deception. It's not giving the full disclosure. So
yep.
I think that's very crucial, and I think that was a very, very important in marriage, and that's why a lot of marriages end up by the wayside by people not being able to move on. And Ms. Tuck, you make an excellent argument. How can we expect to receive forgiveness from our Heavenly Father if we're still holding on to grudges? Because he doesn't bring
right.
it up. You know, it's
right.
not like, well, remember when. You know, he is a clean
right.
slate. And so
right.
that's how marriages such as the Tucks, and you guys are here, to our listening audience, you're hearing fly from a married couple who has been through relationship issues just like all of us. Whether you're married,
right.
you're dating, you're contemplating divorce, you have a divorce, or if we all have to go through them, but people like the Tucks, I have to admire because it's hard being transparent. It's
yeah.
hard giving up your business because everyone likes to paint a perfect picture of their life. In all actuality,
yeah.
nobody is perfect. No marriage is perfect. If there's a couple out there that you're sitting up there and you think, oh, they're perfect, no one's perfect.
Right.
Everyone thought
right.
I had a perfect marriage because no one knew my business.
Right. And,
but
and honestly, that's
I
why
commend
I did
you guys
to
for holding
book.
On to it.
You know, the as it should be, though, I do believe that relationships, for its own sake, there are some things that need to be sacred and something that needs to be just between the couple, because when
correct.
You guys are ready to forgive and move on with your life, the people that you let in your life are not so willing to forgive. They harbor feelings
right.
and animosity, which brings in tension into the relationship. But, you know, their transparency, though, about talking about the experience and trying to share with others what they learned, though, I do commend them for doing that and for being transparent. So I agree with you, Dee, completely. And, you know, and Mr. Tuck said a powerful thing in the book, guys, for our listening audience, because I'm on Facebook and a lot of people are saying they're listening live on the link. And you got to get the book. You got to get the book. It's self-published by the couple, And I will share the link and the information as soon as I get that information from Mrs. Tuck or Mr. Tuck as to where they can purchase the book and stuff like that. But Mr. Tuck said a powerful thing in Chapter 5 about forgiveness. He said the first time you experience a situation that requires forgiveness, it feels like you are being suffocated by the pain. And I'm like, I couldn't even have put that so much. That was so eloquently said. Because that's what it feels like. Because just for you to even think about the hurt and what you're feeling at that moment, and, you know, it's suffocating and it's killing you, but you know you have to let it go, like Ms. Tuck said, in order for you to have a full existence or for you to even be a whole being for yourself and for your children and, you know, your family, you have to learn to let that go. But, you know, it's, as I said, the book itself to me is it was well written, very transparent, you know, very put together, and it was simplified for the rest of us out here who don't want to have to go look up words and understand. And I know as Black people, the couple also touch on counseling. We believe, Black folks, if you go to counseling, weak in counseling means you're weak, and we don't go to counseling, we go to church. I believe in counseling, and I think, especially for Black folks, we need to embody this thing of counseling, because sometimes you do need outside help. You do need a voice of reason or somebody that is objective. Even if all that person does is bring clarification to something that you already know, or help the other party understand where you're coming from and why you feel the way that you do, I think we all need that. And sometimes you can't get your family involved. You just cannot, because, again, the forgiveness.
Right.
When you are ready to forgive and move on with your relationship and your life, they're not ready to forgive and they hold that animosity and bring that to, you know, they continue to just to see that disease. And they just won't let it go. And if he makes a mistake, well, you remember when you did this, and I told you, and make the situation foster a worse situation. That, you know, so I do encourage the counseling for that aspect of it, is to keep, you know, keep the playing field smooth, where you don't have everybody in your business, especially if they don't know how to control their mouth when they have diarrhea of the mouth.
That's correct. Also, I would like to add.
And I mean,
you. Okay, I would add, also, you have to be understanding when you hurt your spouse, and it could be something small or major, you have to be understanding that you have to allow them time to heal. My biggest issue when it came to forgiveness at times, as like you stated earlier, when we're at the dinner table or whatnot, and I'm thinking we have moved past a certain issue, and I see she's still maybe bothered or she's still hurt by it, I would get upset. I would like, wow, you still tripping on that? Like, man, that happened a week ago, a month ago, a couple of days ago. Move past that. And I have to completely switch my mindset, like, wow, Ramon, you realize you did hurt this woman. Allow her time to heal so you can become one, you know, it can make the whole situation better. I had trouble allowing her time to heal. I'm thinking I moved past it. You know, she needs to get past it too. But it's easier to get past something when you cause the pain. When the pain is inflicted on you, sometimes it can be a little difficult to move forward. And if you cause some pain, allow them to forgive you completely before, you know. And I find that difficult. And my honest opinion, I think most men tend to do that. And you know, and that was something I struggled with. I really wanted to share that if you hurt your spouse and they're still a day later or 2 days later, they're still bothering them, do not trip or get upset. Allow them time to heal. That is so important, in my opinion.
That's so true. Like, you still on that? You know,
right.
think we've all had, and he makes a great point in the fact that it's easier to move on when you're the one that caused the pain, because guess what? You're not hurting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're
right.
Dealing with the repercussions of your actions based off of the disappointment, but you're not hurting. at all.
Right.
Another one of her guests chimed in she's listening online, but the question she was saying that because talking about having that support where a lot of people don't, like she and her husband were together for 6 years, and she was saying they're currently going through a divorce right now because they're separated, but she was saying they didn't have that guidance, nor do they have that encouragement to help them, you know, through those difficult years. But the kids, because there were children involved from the prior relationships, but they still call. So she's appreciative
right.
that the kids, even though they're thinking, but, you know, she wished they had that support or that help from, you know, the elders or other people that could pour into them, into the marriage.
Right. And see, and we were blessed, I was extremely blessed. When me and my wife was going through certain situations, I could share certain information of certain things with my parents. I didn't tell my parents everything. That's exactly the reason why you stated earlier. You don't want to tell them everything
mm-hmm.
because once you move past something, they still linger and they still thinking about it
mm-hmm.
and they haven't forgiven your spouse. So you have to be careful of what information you do share with whoever you share stuff with. But as you stated, you need a support system. You may need a ear or some advice, and I was blessed that I had my parents. And the great thing about my parents never just took my side. There's times where I may have been venting or talking to my parents, and like, yeah, Dad, Candace, she tripping, and this is it. My old man told me to shut the hell up. I mean, he was mad as hell. Shut the hell up. You hurt her. You tripping. I'm like, whoa, wow. And it made me think and realize, wow, I am tripping. And my sister would do the same. To have someone that's going to give you the painful truth about yourself and your situation is so vital, so vital, because some people may not have that support system. So when you have someone that's willing to tell you the truth, even when you don't want to hear it, it's very vital to listen and take it all in. Self-reflection is something some people can't do. And I've been blessed to have people around me and been blessed to have a common sense to realize, okay, Ramon, you're not always right. And Ramon, you are tripping. Your wife is right in this situation. And take heed to what they're saying. So I was blessed to have that support system to let me know when I did share certain information with them that I was wrong and would take heed to that advice and change and make the vital corrections that I needed to make in order to improve my marriage.
And I would say for me, I didn't go to my parents a lot, but I have a lot of friends who are married. And what I decided to do, we have GroupMe, and so I selected friends that are married that were on two different sides of the spectrum, where I have friends that are very humble in their personality, and then I have friends that are women that are very outspoken. So it was about five of them, and so when we were going through things, I proposed, you know, like, what do y'all think about this? Or am I tripping about this? And, you know, I allow everybody to give their own opinion on it, yet I still did what I felt was best for us, but at least I was able to hear, okay, this is how she would handle it, and this is how
mm-hmm.
she would handle it. So it was like getting counsel not from somebody who's just like me, you know, because that's what we tend to do. We want to find somebody that thinks like us that will be on our side, but you have to get it's vital to get people that you know kind of think the opposite, so you can have a well-rounded
right.
view of the situation. And as a counselor, I support counseling, because all it is like y'all said earlier, it's somebody that's a neutral party, but it allows you to think about things in a different atmosphere. You're not in the comfort of your home. And it's just bringing out things, just making you think a different way. It's not saying you're crazy. It's almost counselors just help you figure it out. you already have it in you, but they just bring it out, and it allows you. And I don't think of it as coaching. If you got to just switch your mindset, don't think of it like we're going to counseling. Let's go and get some marriage coaching on how to do this. And I almost think like our book for those husbands or wives that don't want to go, use the questions that we ask in the book to sit down and talk together, or hold an event if it makes you comfortable. Invite some more married couples over and, okay, discuss the things that are in the book together. So that's another means of having that support system, because you can't do it by yourself. I mean, it really is good to have or take counsel or coaching from another couple that's been in it.
Right. And see, and that's why I went to my parents, because they've been married for so long, and the relationship they have is just, oh, my God, amazing. And that's the reason why I went to them. And two, honestly, my parents, most of the time, they're going to think I'm wrong and I'm tripping. My parents are not the type of people that would just try to just side with me because I'm their son. My parents are for what's right is right. There's no in between. If you're right, you're right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care who it's from. So you have to be, like stated before, you have to be careful who you share your information with. You can make sure they have a good mindset and just. Oh, man, it's just, and that's the reason why I went to them, because like Candace said, you can't do it alone. There's going to be times to where you have to vent, or you need an ear to, you know, a shoulder to cry on, to lean on, and you don't want to share it with your spouse because you're going to. So just be careful in who you share that information with.
Guys, when I tell you that the book is the book to me is a book that is, I'm glad you guys wrote the book. It's a book that needs to have been written. And I know we only have an hour, and it's what, probably 10 minutes left in the show, and we probably won't be able to get through all of the book. We probably may have to do a part two of this because there's so much information. But you guys definitely have to pick up the book. Somebody should have told me. Marriage, what do you really know? And what it is about. And I just wanted to touch on just one other aspect, because I think it's a question that is asked so often, not even for couples that are not married, the quality time. What you guys touched on in Chapter 9, where you guys discuss, you know, quality time. The couple discuss how quality time always is needed. In fact, it's actually more important after you marry than it was before. You know, how do you guys balance that, you know, having three kids and sometimes blended families coming together? Maybe, you know, the wife or the husband had a child prior to the marriage, and now everybody's coming together. How do you find that middle ground, you know, to be able to spend that quality time that you need together to say, this is our time, even if it means vacation at home, you know, just taking a bath together and just shutting the kids out for even an hour or two, and this is our moment. How do you guys balance that with life and work and career and kids and everything?
It's, I mean, like, oh, man, that's so important, because with your jobs, your kids, you can totally neglect each other but yet be with each other. How we balance it was just simply we just realized, look, and my wife is, she's the main reason. She would constantly say, "But wait, I want us to do this together. I want us to do that together." And I'm like, "What? We're spending time with each other, but we actually wasn't, because the kids play sports. They have all kinds of different things going on. You cannot forget the most important, besides God, the most important aspect in your marriage is each other." And if you do not invest time into growing with each other, spending time with each other, your marriage is just almost doomed to fail. We just had to just simply, like you said, if it's just simply watching a movie together, simply just going out to eat, simply just taking a walk, going to the gym together, I don't care what it is, you have to spend that quality time and set aside time with each other, because a week can go by and you'll realize, wow, we haven't did anything with just me and you. So you have to have a mindset to where I want to spend quality time with my spouse. The most important thing, in my opinion, is just having that mindset to where you want to do that. You have to invest in time with each other. And how we did it was just having, I was blessed to have a spouse who constantly wants to spend time with her husband. She wants to just lay up on me. If I'm watching TV, she wants to put her head on my chest. And I'm like, oh, my God, get off me, woman. Can I be, oh, my God. And it would get on my nerves at times. But when I look back at it, it got on my nerves. But I'm so thankful for it now, because I didn't have that mindset. And if I didn't have that mindset, if she did either, we wouldn't have spent quality time. So I was blessed to just have the right spouse with the right mindset who wanted to spend quality time with a husband. And I had been blessed with common sense to where, okay, I do need to spend quality time. And we just set aside time. And like I said, if it's just simply watching a movie together, like you see, taking a bath together, things of that nature, you have to do that.
And I would also say, just from us just being on this, you know, push to promote marriage, and I've heard a lot of different, suggestions and things that people are doing. And I know we used to do it. He might not have realized it, but, like, he used to go outside all the time when we stayed at our other house. And sometimes he'd be like, just come outside with me. You know, sometimes people don't have the financial – you may be in a financial slump at a time, at one point in your life, where you can't go out. Or you may have little kids where you don't trust, you know, certain people to keep your kids. So it could be simply, let's just get up 15, 30 minutes before – we normally do, to have a cup of coffee together, or just sit outside and just talk or pray together to start our day, or even at night, once you put the kids down, go outside together and just chill, talk, recap. What I wish we would have done is, you know, from the beginning, is set up a ritual, something that we are committed to doing together. You know, whether it's praying together or going, you know, doing that little 15 minutes and saying, you know, no matter where our relationship is, even if it's in a valley or on the mountaintop, this is what we're going to commit to doing together, you know. And because when you get in those low points, if you commit to still doing that, I think it will help you come out a little quicker. But then it's also creating that bond with you. So I would say just, even if it has to be only 15 minutes, you know, in your day, just commit some time together, or once a month. This is what we're going to do. We don't have a lot of money, but once a month we're going to do this together, or we're going to do something together. And you can be amazed at how creative you can be if you take money out the situation. You can become really creative. Like, we had a couple who live across the street from us. They will take a nightly walk around the corner. Every single night, you'll see them by 10 o'clock at night. They walk in, they take a block, and come back home. So it could be something just as simple as that. It doesn't have to be some elaborate, we're going to go spend hundreds, you know, dollars. But it can be if you have that, if you have it. Just commit to doing something. One of the poets at our Black Marriage event said he met a guy that every single morning he tell his wife, I love you, and I'm so happy I'm married to you. And he told her they had been married for 40 years, but that was something he committed to from day one. And no matter where they were in their relationship, he told her that every single morning when they woke up. And it's just simple things like that. But quality time is definitely something you have to do, because when you have kids and you have so much going on, that your spouse can get pushed to the back. So it's like you have to make a conscious effort to do that.
Well said, Ms. Tuck. Listen, guys, again, you know, for those that are listening, I encourage you guys to pick up the book. It's called Somebody Should Have Told Me, Marriage. Do You Really Know What It Is About? And the couple, you know, the book is by Ramon and Candace Tuck. And the book touched on not just trust issues, communication. It touched on sex, infidelity, forgiveness, compromise, finance, expectations, quality time, you know, putting God first in your relationship. As I said, it's a simple and easy read, but it is so well articulated and put together where anyone can understand. They were very transparent too about their struggles and everything that they went through throughout the marriage. So I encourage you guys to pick up the book. And if, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Tuck can just tell, if you guys can just tell the audience where they can go and find the book, whether it's available on Amazon or, you know, if you guys have a specific link or a website that they can go on to purchase the book for those who want to get the book and to dive into it, because we're just touching on the surface. You know, they go more into details about the different aspects that the marriage went through and their journey and their growth. I mean, they want to impart that knowledge on you guys, which I think is phenomenal, that they actually want to do this and give other relationship a blueprint or some type of foundation of, you know, things to expect and what to look for, how you can handle certain situations. We know everybody's journey is different, but, you know, when you have some type of guide, I think that always helps.
Okay, you can purchase the book from you can purchase the book from www.lulu, which is lulu.com. We also have a website. It is, I don't know if you put the www in front of it, if it'll work, but it's http://thecouplesLounge.net. And you can also purchase the book from there. And it also kind of show you, give you information to like where we will be and like when we're on the radio and et cetera, if you want to listen in. So those are the two places. We're also on Facebook at Ramon Tuck and Candace Tuck. The Tuck is pretty simple.
Hello?
If you can just finish off that information that your wife was given, Mr. Tuck,
right.
I'm not sure what happened.
I think her phone might have died. Yes, the CouplesLounge.net. CouplesLounge.net. Also, we're on Facebook, and we've been blessed to actually have a radio show starting next month at the Fishbowl. It's called The Couples Lounge as well. But again, if you want the book, CouplesLounge.net or Lulu.com, LULU.com.
Okay. Well, there you have it, guys. And Mrs. Tuck, if you can send me that information, I'll go ahead and put it on her blog as well. And you guys can look for that information at www.ttalktime.com. And I'll also share it on her fan page as well as on social media as well. You know, because I do believe in this book, and I am an advocate and do believe in marriage. I do believe in good, solid, wholesome relationships. So I believe this is very needed, and, you know, that this information will help, you know, and the whole, because we don't see enough of, you know, especially marriage, you know, good, solid relationships. We don't see it on TV. We certainly don't see it in real life. Some of us look around our family, we don't see any type of marriages or relationship. There's no longevity or anything going on because you live in a microwave world where everything is instant. You know, we trade people in when things go how we expect them to go, or we, you know, we don't know anything about loyalty anymore. So the fact that you guys are out there promoting and pushing this, I will do everything I possibly can because it's something I believe in, you know, to help to get the word out and to get all the information that needs to be put out there. So if you guys can send me that, I'll tweet it out on Facebook or website or blog and everything to get that information out. And we thank you very much for joining us this morning and, you know, and being a part of the show and everything like that. So I do commend you guys for what you're doing. Me and Dee are very appreciative of you guys joining us this morning and sharing your knowledge and information with us.
Problem.
But again, guys, the book is called Somebody Should Have Told Me. It's by Ramon and Candace Tuck. And Tuck is very easy to spell. It's T-U-C-K. You know, so look for them on social media. Follow them on social media. I don't know if you guys have a fan page for the book that you guys can like, and follow and look where they are, where they're having their speaking engagement and stuff like that. So another great bookstore you guys should look into having maybe something is a Dot Bookstore. It's one of the only black-owned bookstores in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, so you guys may want to look into probably have a book signing or a little event there. So.
And we do, and actually we'll be on the show at the Dot. They have a radio show, one of the shows, Monday, this coming up Monday at 7:30. We will be on there this coming up Monday.
Okay, so there you have it, guys. They will be on the Doc, and the Doc has a Facebook page as well as you can find them. They're located off, I believe it's somewhere in Branstierwood is where it is. So you heard it here first, guys. So they will be on that show, which is going to be the 18th at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So tune into that. Pick up the book, guys, and I will retweet the information of where you can buy the link. And, again, this is Dee and Stacey from Tea Talk Time. And I know we have ran over our time, but we do appreciate them joining us. We appreciate all our listening audience, those that are listening online, and everybody that tweeted in on Facebook or, you know, sending information and question on the topic and everything. And, you know, follow us on social media as well. All our media tags is the same. It's Tea Talk Time. You know, social media, Twitter, everything. You can check out our blog as well, our website, which is www.teatalktime.com. And you can just send us any questions and information that you or any topic you would like us to talk about or any question that you may have even had prior to the show. As long as we get a hold of our guests, we can let them know, you know, what it is that you ask or what you learn or stuff like that, because that's how we pick some of our conversation topics as well. So, you know, to the top, a job well done. I thoroughly enjoyed the book, and as I said, may have to do a part two because we didn't get through all of the book. It said they touch on everything you possibly can think of, you know, that could happen within a marriage, you know, the communication, the compromise, finance, you know, God, infidelity, sex, all of that is in the book. So you guys, please pick up the book. If somebody should have told me, by Ramon and Candace Tuck. And again, this is the Lady of Tea Time Talk. You know, thank you for joining us this morning. Have a beautiful day. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you for spending your time with us this morning. And Dee, did you have anything else that you wanted to share this morning before we go?
Oh, thank you guys for coming on the show, sharing your experiences with us. Definitely appreciate the both of you. Congratulations on overcoming what could have been the demise of your relationship, of your marriage. A marriage is never easy decision, but sometimes when you're on that brink, you need the right direction and the right type of foundation to keep you guys together. So I commend you on that. Thank you for sharing your story, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Right, and as Dee said, congratulations, 13 years. To me, that's especially in this day and age, that's a milestone. So, you know, keep doing what you guys are doing, you know, putting God first and being intentional about that quality of time because it's so important, you know, in a relationship. So, you know, you guys, job well done, guys. I know I definitely be rooting and praying for you guys that you guys have 13 more wonderful years together.
Thank you so much for having us.
You guys are absolutely welcome. And again, guys, pick up the book because somebody should have told you. Thank you for joining us again. I probably said it a million times, but I can't say it enough. And we appreciate you guys tuning in every week with us, regardless of even sometimes our time changes and stuff like that. But we continue for the continued support and everything like that. And, you know, everybody have a wonderful weekend. And, you know, this is the Lady of Tea Talk Time, and we are chiming out.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.